Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Pinch Show.
A smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
Well, all right. We are back on the Andy Finn Show. And on this date, July 23rd, the ice cream cone was invented. It was invented during the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in St. Louis. Now, that would have been the St. Louis, what we now call the World's Fair of 1904. And it was the 100th anniversary, roughly. It was 1803, I think, that Jefferson bought the Louisiana Purchase from Napoleon, who needed the money. And so 100 years later, they held the St. Louis World's Fair, it now is known as. And the ice cream cone was invented there. And also the largest Ferris wheel in the world at the time, and maybe the largest ever built, was there. Also, they built this huge aviary, which is now the centerpiece of the St. Louis Zoo, the oldest part of the St. Louis Zoo, in Forest Park. And Washington University, where I went to graduate school, sits at the other end of Forest Park. And the first four buildings of Washington University, the castle that is the distinctive front administration building high on the hill overlooking Forest Park, and then the buildings right behind it, were all built as part of this 1904 Louisiana Purchase Exposition. Also, the first municipal railway passenger service was begun on this date. And there's two facts about this that are amazing. What this means really is not subway service, but above ground railroad service within the city, municipal. And the strange thing is, it may not be strange that it was 1877, but that's a long time ago. But to me, the strange thing was, it was in Cincinnati, Ohio, of all places. Who would have thunk it? You know, we kind of forget how much rail service there was in this country. My father, in the 1920s, traveled to grammar school down Ridge Road in Webster, New York, from West Webster to Holy Trinity School in Webster. And the trolley car went right down Main Street. Well, there's no rail service or subway service of any sort even in Rochester, New York, a city of 300,000, but in this small town in Webster, they had rail service back in the 1920s. It's kind of amazing. Anyway, let me move on to a few topics in the news. Let's see. Where do we want to go with this next? The president is going ahead with missile defense, apparently. This was in the paper last week. He plans to deploy missile defense facilities in Eastern Europe, even though the Russians have objected strongly and said that they will pull out of a major arms control treaty as a retaliatory move. Now, what's interesting is how this thing has played out, if you haven't followed this at all. When Bush said they were going to go ahead and give, I think it's Poland and one of the other Eastern European countries, it'll come to me in a minute, the Czech Republic, I think, they were going to build a sophisticated radar station in the Czech Republic and put 10 interceptor missiles on Polish soil. Now, these are rewards to these countries, investments in these countries, for siding with us during the Iraq War, as near as I can tell. There's no good reason to be putting missile defense in Eastern Europe. Bush himself admits it's not to fight the Russian threat, it's to fight a threat from Iran. But Iran is not going to attack Poland or the Czech Republic. And the strange thing is, of course, that this technology doesn't work. Bush was committed to deploying it by November of 2004, and so he did in the U.S. But everybody knows it's a joke. Well, not the conservatives that support it and claim that, you know, well, we have to test this in the field. No, this technology doesn't work. We spent over $100 billion on it, and it's not ready. Okay? It's a misplaced priority. People ought to see that, but the Republicans have the Democrats so cowed that they won't talk about this way. But in fact, in the wake of 9/11, missiles from North Korea or China or Iran, that's not our problem. That's not where the attack is going to come from. We know it's going to come in a shipping container, or it's going to get snuck into the country if it's a nuke. But meanwhile, we're spending $8 billion a year to iron out the bugs in the missile defense system, which can't hit the broadside of the barn yet. But the bizarre thing is, so then we decide we're going to give it to Eastern Europe countries that don't really have a credible threat at this point. And then the Soviets get all upset and say, wait a minute, this is going to ruin the balance of power. Well, really, it's just that we're playing in their backyard and they don't like that. So Putin comes along and is thinking to himself, well, as long as the system doesn't work, let's offer our radar station that's 25 years old and we'll get involved. So he says to Bush, we'd like to join you and we'll offer a radar station. It needs to be upgraded, but we want to be part of it. And Bush says, hey, that's an interesting idea. We'll think about it. It's a joke. It is a joke. So why he would imperil an existing treaty, or just of all the things to rub the Russians' noses in, why not talk to him about democracy and the fact that Putin continues to roll it back? Why not talk to him about any number of other things? Instead, this is what we're going after? It's just really strange. I just don't get it, but it's pretty hard to understand a lot of things this president does. Anyway, I'm going to skip over the news about John Edwards. Let's see. It turns out that it's now been confirmed the European probe of the secret CIA prisons in Europe. The investigation was released a few weeks ago and laid it out in quite a bit of detail. And it turns out that U.S. intelligence officers cooperated and helped the Europeans figure out what had happened, primarily because they were unhappy with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and the fact that he went for this whole secret CIA prisons thing and the way he went about hunting down terrorists, taking them off the streets, et cetera, et cetera. So the report last month named Poland and Romania as two of the countries that helped out. They had denied it up until then, and now they've been exposed. Of course, when the Washington Post reported the secret CIA prisons a year and a half ago, the U.S. government said, please don't tell which countries were involved. It's a matter of national security, and the Post agreed. Well, that information's out there now. Another set of information that's out there is the Washington Post last week did a little expose, and they put together the names of the companies and trade groups that were involved in Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force. A detailed report last week, this is what I love about the Washington Post, they give you all kinds of detail, shows how many companies and which companies met and how many times they met with the Cheney Task Force. Of course, he famously said that the president and he won't have unvarnished advice if they reveal which oil company executives and trade groups met with him, including Ken Lay of Enron. They didn't want to expose any of that, and they won in court that they didn't have to. But, you know, this level of secrecy is crazy. It seems to me any oil executive, any other corporate leader or environmental group, and of course he didn't meet with any of the environmental groups. He basically let industry dictate policy, which was, you know, pretty much what people figured all along. But anybody that says, I want to give the president or vice president advice, but I don't want them to reveal my name that I gave him advice, I don't think we need advice from those people. In an open society, they ought to be willing to say, yes, I talked to the president about my advice. But Cheney's this super secretive guy, so he wanted to hold it under his hat. And let's see, we're going to have to get to Iraq and Al-Qaeda here before the last segment, but let's talk a little bit about China. So it turns out that China is punishing their whistleblowers. They have workers who go public about product safety issues, both food and drug products, but also other kinds of products that may be unsafe. And of course, we're importing a tremendous amount of this, and a lot of our companies are importing components of products and components of drugs, inert components for drugs and things like that that are cheaper to get overseas. And it turns out China does a lousy job, which we should expect of a third world country that's emerging as a big exporter. They don't have the rules in place. And frankly, they may not care at one level, at the factory level. Now, China cares, which is why they've sentenced some of their inspectors to death for failure. I'm not sure they're going to kill any of them, actually, but they're showing they're serious and making an example of a couple of people. But the bottom line is that it turns out they've got whistleblowers, people that are coming forward, and one worker who spoke out, this woman spoke out and said that the vitamin drink that they were making didn't contain what was on the label. She was put in jail. Then the investigation proved her right. They didn't do anything about it. They kept her in jail. So we're going to have to put a little pressure on China to get them to come around a little bit. And let's see. Well, this is about Iraq. That's about Iraq. That's about Afghanistan. So two other items here before we go to break. One is that there was a piece in the Washington Post yesterday about a website that broadcasts cockfights on the web, and there's a lawsuit barring them, okay, because cockfighting is illegal in all 50 states. So the only way people can see it is to see it on the web. What happens is they show these in the Caribbean someplace. They have them take place in the Caribbean, and then they show them on the web, and people can pay and buy the right to see animals treating other animals cruelly. Now, it is true out in the jungle, males fight with each other, but not to the death, male animal species. So that's what's different about this. Now, what's interesting is that the cockfighting crowd says, this is a matter of free speech. We should be able to see this. We should be able to watch this. You know, it's not like it's child pornography. No, that's true. It's not child pornography. But it's interesting that if you can make something illegal in person, the question is, why can't you make it illegal over the air? You know, the same thing is true of cigarettes. If we're allowed to regulate cigarettes, which we do regulate the sale of cigarettes to minors and where they can be sold, etc. But then they say, well, First Amendment says you can't have restrictions on cigarette ads. Well, of course we do in this country. It's a strange phenomenon, but we bar cigarette advertising from radio and television because of the pervasive and persuasive ness of radio and television. At least that's the way it's perceived, that it's pervasive. It's all over. You can't shut it out of your house. The airwaves come through your house whether you want them or not. And it's persuasive. The mass media of radio and television have long been thought to be more persuasive than the print media. So cigarette ads are allowed in print, but they're not allowed over the air. And that's what we live with in this country. But there are restrictions on it, and it's not entirely a free speech issue. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with cockfighting and whether or not it can be considered protected speech. But, of course, this is coming to the fore at the same time that dogfighting is in the news, in part because of Michael Vick's recent indictment on dog fighting charges. But all this animal on animal violence, I don't know, man. I don't know why people want to see that, but apparently they do. In any case, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to listen to a little bit of talk about Iraq and Iran.
Get your hands off that mouse. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.
Yeah!